If you will, turn with me, and if you know your Bible, where I'm at when I say these words, Luke chapter number 15, and I'm going to ask if you will to stand with me, and as we read the word, and I'll just read it and shut up and start preaching, all right? And verse number 11 is where I'm going to read at, and the Bible says, and he said a certain man had two sons. He just didn't have one son, he had two sons. It wasn't about one lost son. It was really about two lost sons. Amen. Right. And it says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him, or unto them, not him, but unto them, his living. He did that. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. When he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went, and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, that's a good place to come to yourself. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? That means more than enough. And I sitting here perishing with hunger. I will arise. Plan number two. Plan number one was back there when he said, I'll go find me a job. Plan B, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. This is what I'm going to say. Plan B, I'm going to be a hired servant. And I'm going to also say, I'm no worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. That's what's going to happen. That's how I perceive it, right? And then verse number 20, he arose and he came to his father. Boy, I think sometimes the father's left out of this, okay? I hope that I might throw something on you that you maybe have never considered before. This is the most popular of all probably parables in the Bible, no doubt about it. But we need to think upon some things, you know, what's new does. God's got a way of making it even newer sometimes, right? And the Bible says he rose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Yeah. And he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck, and then he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Notice he didn't say, make me a hired servant. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, let us eat, let us be merry. Now for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, see, and now he's found. And they begin to be merry. Right. Now, if you will, go on down there with me and look at verse of the Bible, here in the Bible. I want to go down to verse 32. He says, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother, talking to his elder son, was dead and is alive again, was lost, and is found. Right. Father, we come to you tonight, and, well, Lord, we are honored to be here with these great people. And, God, people that we love, people that I dare say a week don't go by that we don't think about these people up here. God, they have been a great part of my life. And, Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for them continuing. God, I'm thankful for the lost folk up here. God, the young ones that used to be young with me, God, that whenever I was young, they was even younger. And I looked at them, and, Lord, they desired to have something that was real. And, Lord, they ain't settled for nothing that the old world has to offer or some old kind of religion. But, God, they're still after what was real, what is real today. And God, I pray that, Lord, that you might reveal yourself unto them, God. Lord, I pray that anyone here today that's lost tonight, that, Lord, you might reveal, manifest yourself, Lord. Make yourself so real to them, God, that, Lord, that they might experience real salvation tonight. God, that they may find out really who Jesus is. That, Lord, they may fall in love with their Father that they thought they've known for a while, but they've never known him like they're going to know him before it's all said and done with. God, I pray that, Lord, that you'll bring the sons together. You'll bring the boys together. Lord, you'll bring the daughters together tonight, God. Lord, you'll bring the family together tonight, God. Lord, let us sit in heavenly places tonight, God. Let us sup on the things and lean upon your breast, God. And Lord, just enjoy what you have for us tonight, God. Lord, we ask you to move and Lord, in the ways that you want to move, God, not in the ways that I would think that you should move tonight, but God, I just want you to do it tonight, God. Lord, we know without you, nothing can be accomplished, and God, we can't even fathom, Lord, the thought of trying to preach the word without you, and God, we didn't come here to glorify ourselves, but we come here tonight to glorify you. Lord, may we lift you up tonight, God, just as far as we can lift you up, God. Lord, may eyes be focused on Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb, the lamb that's there that's been shed for the remission and for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I don't feel like I need to introduce this. Like I said, it's very popular. Amen. If you get into the Luke chapter number 15, I wanted to read as fast as I could, but yet I want to go back. I want you also to see in verse number 1, read that with me if you will. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners. And the Bible says there, that's the crowd, for to what? For to hear him. Amen. I'm an old-fashioned preacher enough to believe this, that God's got to give you a hearing ear. Amen. Exactly. And God's got to give you an eye that you can see with. Amen. And a heart to understand with. Amen. And just like he opened up the heart of Lydia there on the riverbank, I believe God's in the opening of the heart business. Amen. I don't believe that you give your heart to Jesus. Amen. I believe that, God don't want your stinking old rotten heart. Amen. God's going to give you a new heart. Amen. Heart of flesh. Amen. Amen. I mean, he's going to come in and circumcise your heart. Amen. Redo your heart. Take that old heart away of stone and give you a brand new heart. Amen. And so the crowd that gathered there that day was a crowd that wanted to hear him. Back up in verse number 35 when it says in verse chapter 14, it's neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. And so we see who wanted to hear. The Bible says publicans wanted to hear, and also sinners did. Amen. I'm glad God came to seek and save sinners. Amen. Jesus came to seek and to save sinners. Amen. If you're a sinner today, amen, meaning that you need forgiveness of sins, amen, then God, listen, I tell you, even as a Christian, we need forgiveness of sins. Amen. And I found this out. Since I've been saved, since God worked repentance in me, amen, and faith in me, I don't know, I mean, they came boom, boom right there, but when God worked repentance and God worked faith in me, I found out even as a Christian that God continues to work repentance, amen, that same type of repentance, amen, he still works that carefulness in me, amen, he still at times wants me to get rid of all that stuff that's inside of me, amen, and draw up closer unto him, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, amen. What carefulness it wrought in me, amen. What vehement desire, what zeal it worked in me, amen. You see, those are all ingredients of repentance, amen. In order to get saved, you have to be forgiven of your sin, amen. Of your sin of unbelief, of never trusting in Jesus Christ, amen. Of never really having a
a relationship with a real man, a real Savior, a real Lamb that came to sacrifice Himself, amen, for your sins, amen. You see, you got to have that forgiveness. Without that forgiveness, you can never be saved. But without repentance, you never get forgiveness. Amen? And God has to work that repentance. I read there in 2 Timothy, amen, that God is the author of our repentance. Amen? I read there and again in the Bible where it says that God is the author of our repentance. Amen? He works our repentance, and so He works our faith. Amen? The Holy Spirit convicts us and works that sorrow, that works that repentance, that works that faith so that we may be forgiven, amen. So that our blood, amen, so that the blood of Jesus might cleanse us as white as snow. You believe that? That ain't a bunch of words. That ain't a bunch of hogwash, whole lot. Hey, that ain't no preacher jargon. Hey, that's what happened on the inside of me, amen. Listen, God worked that. When I can say that God did it all and I didn't do anything, He did it all. If it had been my will or what I wanted, amen. Listen, I sure wouldn't have got what I got, amen. I'd have got something made of this world, something that wouldn't have lasted. But folks, when you get something that God produces, it'll last, amen. And so if it lasts then on down the road again, whenever your relationship with your father ain't what it should be, then you again begin to sorrow over your sin. And you begin again to repent over that. And you again begin to ask God for forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I find myself daily asking God for forgiveness, amen, so that I might have the relationship I need. Amen. Listen, He didn't promise us happiness. He didn't promise us that. Matter of fact, there are some things promised, amen, that you, listen, and I want you to know that it wasn't a rose garden, amen. Listen, I want to tell you something. Being Christian is, and being Christ-like, amen, and being formed to the image of His Son in a place in a world that we live in today is not an easy task, amen. It's one that you can't perform, but it's one that He can perform through you, amen. Listen, these people that gathered there were publicans. They were sinners. I found myself to really find out the day that I found out that I was really a sinner. I felt like I needed somebody to love me. And God told me He loved me. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Word of God, He began to assure me that He loved me. Amen. I began to think about David. I began to think about all kinds of people in the Bible, all the lowlifes, all the riffraff, all the scumbums in the Bible. And God said, look at there. I love them and I love you. You see, the trouble with it is we're a whole lot like the other son that wasn't so-called lost son, but yet he was lost too. We're a lot like him. We don't think that we are that bad. We don't think that we are withered. We don't think that we have, you know, that we're paralyzed. Right. We don't think that we're blind. Right. We don't think that we have leprosy. Right. We don't think of ourselves as a harlot. Amen. Right. We don't think of ourselves that way. We think of ourselves as being religious. We think of ourselves as knowing a little bit. Amen. Of not being like that bunch over there. But folks, there was a crowd that day that was also there, and that's how they thought of themselves. Right. And Jesus attacked self-righteousness. But they didn't like Him because He attacked their self-righteousness. Matter of fact, if you'll read in verse number 2, it says, Pharisees and scribes murmured, grumbled. The ones that knows it, they murmured, they grumbled. They said about Him, this is a man that receiveth sinners.
How about that?
And He eats with them. I'm glad Brother Pascal ate with me, amen, over there at the table many times, amen. I'm glad Brother Tim ate with me and rode with me and talked with me, amen, and come preach at my revivals, even though I was a lost son. He still came, amen. I'm glad. Listen, you better be glad you got people that love you and want to mingle with you and want to meet with you, amen. If it ain't nothing but once every 3 months, they're going to get together and meet with you and preach to you. Why Why? Because they love you. Amen. They want to be associated with you. Oh, they like publicans and sinners. They like tax gatherers. Amen. You know what I'm saying? It is not. They really don't like the religious world. I mean, there's probably not anybody on TV that those two men like over there. All right? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's not anybody. They like real doctrine, real. I call it Baptist doctrine. Supposed to be Baptist doctrine. Amen. They like the doctrine in which Paul established churches with. They like the doctrines that Peter established churches with. They like the doctrines that the apostles established churches with. They like the doctrine of the first churches. They don't like the doctrines of maybe today's churches. Some of them don't know what they believe in. Amen. But listen, he wanted to be around harlots. He wanted to be around sinners. He wanted to be around those type of people. And the religious crowd would look back and they'd say, see, there he goes. And that's why we know he's of Beelzebub. That's why we know he's of the devil right there. He likes them kind of people. Yeah. He likes them harlots. He likes them sinners. Yeah. He likes them publicans there. And we can't figure him out. He don't like any of the religious people. He don't like us. We don't like him. And every chance we get, we're going to get something on him. We're going to one of these days accuse him for blasphemy. One of these days we're going to run him off the cliff of the hill. Amen. I mean, that's what they did several times. Tried to, you know, get him off the cliff, pull him down, push him down the hill, kill him, stone him. Amen. And they tried that. It wasn't his time yet. Amen. The Bible said it wasn't his time yet. And we know that it happened later on, but it happened to fulfill a promise. Amen. It happened for a performance that God had preordained a long time ago. Amen. They had gotten together and said that, listen, it's foreordained. This is going to happen. He's going to be the sacrifice for the sins of this world. Amen. And so look in verse number 3. Jesus begins to speak a parable. Now, you know as well as I do, and I'm not going to preach these other two, but I want to make mention of them. I see all kinds of stuff today on outside of churches. There's two in our county, and it's recovery. Recovery. I don't know. They're recovering from drugs and alcohol or something else. You know, I don't know who they're giving the credit to. Amen. But I want to tell you something. I've been recovered.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And recovery, I think the best recoverer that I know of is the Father. Amen.
That's right.
I mean, he comes looking for you.
Amen.
My Father will come looking for you.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, he knows where you're at.
That's right.
He knows what you need. Amen.
Right.
And he'll give you what you need and then he'll come looking for you.
Amen.
I believe he probably stepped out on the back porch last night just to see where you're at. Amen. I believe he stepped out tonight and said, there he is. I mean, God knows where you're at. And God knows what you need. And God's going to send what you need. But we got some lost things. I mean, here in chapter 15, verse 3, we got a lost sheep. And if he's telling the story, and even though the Pharisees and scribes are murmuring at what he's saying, I believe they in some ways respect what Jesus is trying to tell them here. That it is a shepherd's, responsibility if he's got 99 to go out and look for that one that he don't have.
Right.
I like the way Jesus told stories. He was the ultimate storyteller.
I guarantee you.
I mean, he didn't tell stories of fictional characters about Mickey Mouse. He told stories that meant something. I mean, he told supernatural stories that existed right then and there, and it's what the people needed, and it was what these Pharisees and Sadducees was needing, but they didn't want to hear it.
Right.
And they didn't want to see it.
Right.
And they didn't want to understand it, but there was always a crowd around, whether it be the disciples or a bunch of publican sinners that did want to hear what he was saying.
Right. Right.
And I know what some of y'all are saying, well, shut up and tell me what it is, because I really want to know what it is. Well, one of them is this. Sometimes you just got to be patient. Amen.
Right.
Stand still.
Stand still.
Know that I'm God.
Yeah.
Take a look at your Father a little bit. Amen. Yeah. I mean, Jesus is a little sarcastic at times. And he says, if you don't mind me saying so, in verse number 7, he says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And he's a little sarcastic here. He says, more than 99 that don't think they need repentance. Can you hear it in his tone? I mean, you know, sometimes I have trouble with writing what I need to say. Y'all, anybody? I'd say it a whole lot more than I can write it. If I need to cry, I can cry, and everybody says, well, he's sorrowful. I can't write and that you know that I'm sorrowful when I'm writing. No. Sometimes I want to be happy and funny or something like that, and I'm writing, and I can't be happy and funny when I'm writing. But if I was talking to you one-on-one, I could be happy, and you could see my smile, amen, and you could hear me giggle. It's hard to hear me giggle when I'm writing. But I want you to imagine today that the Lord is writing to you, amen.
Amen.
I want you to know that when Jesus is sarcastic here, he means that 99 that don't need no repentance doesn't mean that they don't need no repentance.
That's right.
They need some repentance, but yet they can't hear and they don't see that and they don't understand that they need repentance. But if there's one out there that's lost and need to be taken care of and need to be recovered, I'm going to go find that one that's lost. Amen. All right?
Right.
And then I like in 7, I can't go on without saying this. I do like this. He says, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner. Just one. 100-word paragraph on what God is like. I guarantee not many of y'all probably think of God as being a joyful character. If I ask you to write a 100-word paragraph, a little essay on the characteristics of Jesus, I wonder how many of you would write that he was a joyful person. You say, well, I remember when he wept, and I remember when he got angry. And yeah, but do you remember when he sent the 70 out? And they came back and they were all excited about, you know, the devil's leaving and everything, you know. And the Bible says, Jesus said, well, don't rejoice that they, you know, that you got, you know, power over them by mentioning my name. But rejoice that your name's written in heaven. Amen. And the Bible says that Jesus himself there in Luke chapter 10, I believe it is, that Jesus himself rejoiced in what was going on.
Amen.
He was happy. Can y'all say, can you say Jesus? He said, now tell me what happened again now. Woo! I want to rejoice tonight. Amen. I want to be, my heart rejoiced. Amen. When that young lady came up yesterday and began to tell me about God working godless horror in her life. Hey, my heart began to rejoice. Amen. Listen, I want to tell you something. I get happy when God comes and does something real in somebody. Amen.
Yeah.
My old heart rejoices. Then it says over here in verse number 10, y'all read that with me. Likewise, I say in you, there's joy in the presence of angels of God. Not only just joy in heaven, but also joy in the presence of joy in heaven. Even the angels are experiencing joy. And they don't even know about salvation. You know why they're happy? Because God's happy. Can you imagine them looking at God and saying, he's happy. Let's get happy with him. Amen. Huh? Why? Why should we get happy with him? Why? Because God is enjoying this and God is having joy. Amen.
Yeah.
Woo! Huh?
Yeah.
Boy, I won't tell you what, fan the flame. Amen.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, hey, if God's happy, then I ought to be happy. Hey, if he's happy, then I ought to be happy. Amen? Listen, if that one sinner is happy because she went and found that lost coin, then I ought to be happy too. I'm thankful that the master found the old lost coin. Amen. I'm thankful that the master found, the old shepherd found the one lost sheep.
Right.
Happy, happy, happy.
Amen.
Amen. Joy, 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 joy. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where's it at? Down in my heart, huh? Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Hey, why do you got joy in your heart? Because he put it there. Amen. Listen, he's the joy of this world. Amen.
Amen.
Mm.
Yes, he is. He did it.
She sought diligently to find it. I'm just wondering if people are seeking diligently to find it. Huh? I mean, I'm talking about seeking diligently now. I'm talking about, I'm not worried about what kind of burdens I got to carry. Well, I'm not worried about that, but I'm just going to peek at it. I've come a long way after a sheep, and I don't care how hard it is. I'm going to pick up that sheep, and I'm going to carry it back. Amen. I mean, that old shepherd, he wasn't thinking about the journey. He wasn't thinking about how long or how many heels he had. Listen, he went after the sheep. He found the sheep, and he brought the sheep back to the fold. Amen. Woo! I'm thankful God came a-looking. Amen.
Yeah.
He wasn't worried about the terrain. He wasn't worried about the problems. He wasn't worried about the circumstances.
Right.
But he came looking and he found.
Right.
I'm glad the woman didn't give up.
Right.
I'm glad she lit a candle. I'm glad she swept the house. I'm glad she sought diligently to find it. And when she found it, she called her neighbors and she said, hey, get over here and rejoice with me. Amen. Hey, that one coin that I'd found, that I've lost, I want you to know I've found it. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus said, see what I mean? See what I mean? When that old little shepherd boy came back with that on his shoulders, he was just smiling from ear to ear. He said, y'all come rejoice with me. Look here, that one sheep that was lost, I found it. God don't go looking that he don't find. He don't go looking that he don't bring back something. Amen. Oh, I wonder if he's ever going to find me. He's going to find you. Miss Pascal told my mom and dad he was going to find me. He found me. He slipped up on me. Amen. When I wasn't really ready for him. But yet my heart had been prepared. I'm going to tell you something else. I remember you preaching that sermon about filling up the potholes, filling up the crevices. You know what I'm talking about. Those valleys, making those valleys, you know, filling in those valleys, taking down that old pride for mountaintop, them hills, lowering them mountaintops, right? Making them old crooked ways straight, making them old rough ways smooth. Let me tell you something right now. Hey, the King is coming. Amen. There's a God. Hey, he don't show up to unprepared hearts. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will prepare you. I didn't think maybe that would be the morning that morning, but it was the morning that morning. But he spent all night preparing me. And I done thought he done left me again. How come you didn't put me on your shoulders? How come, hey, I was right there in the corner. How come you didn't move that cooler and find me right there? Lord, and I began to shake my finger at God and said, you left me again. Folks, it ain't God's fault.
That's right.
It's not God's fault. We have so many people today blaming God.
Oh, yeah.
Folks, let me tell you something. He never went to look and he didn't find you.
That's right. Amen.
He gonna find you.
Yeah.
When he gets that heart the way he wants that heart, he gonna find you.
That's
amen.
Right.
Oh, hey, when he works that repentance, when he does, when you do get careful, amen, when you do, read over there with me, 2 Corinthians, we got to read it, don't we, amen, I can't remember all of it, so I'm going to mess it up if I say it, but in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, the Bible says for behold, this same thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. What clearing of yourselves. I don't know about you, but I wanted my name to be cleared. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not that way anymore. I wanted to, there was a soul that was in me that I didn't like who it was anymore. And I wanted the world to know I didn't want to be known by that anymore.
Amen.
There's an old guy over there. Over there at the jail, I forgot what they call him, Brother Harry. You're here. What'd they call that guy? What was his name? He said, don't call me that no more. You remember? I'm just going to say Slick. They call him Slick. I mean, that wasn't it. And after he got saved, he said, don't you call me that no more. That ain't my name.
Yeah.
And he told him who his name was.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how God always changed the names in the Bible when one got saved? Amen.
Yeah.
Huh? It went from Abram to Abraham. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, God does that. When God does something to you, you want to clarify your name. You want people to know what God did for you. Amen. But at the same time, you're willing. Hey, listen, you're willing to tell off on yourself. What indignation. I want to tell you something. It made me mad. You say, what made you mad? Me made me mad. I got mad at myself. Me made me mad. I mean, I was mad at who I was. I was mad at how I acted. I was mad at sins I'd committed. I was mad that I didn't get saved down there at Brother Shipman's. I was mad that I didn't get saved up there at Michigan.
Yeah.
I was mad at my stubbornness. I was mad that of not having the sorrow of not seeking after God the way that I should have. I'm so mad, and I won't tell you who knew me. I won't tell you who was looking inside me, who knew me that morning. More than I knew myself, he read me like a book. He read me. He knew the way I was. He said, out there is ready for picking. Ready for picking. What vehement desire? Huh? What fear? Lord, I want to tell you something. I wasn't afraid of dying, but I was afraid of dying. I was afraid. I was afraid to drive down to the car, drive to work every morning. I was telling my bunch yesterday, there's no lie, there was so much sorrow in me, godly sorrow, that I hurt. I physically hurt. I physically got sick. Couldn't even go into work. I couldn't even go to sleep the night before. My bones ache. You ever read Psalm 51? And then before there's more there. He talked about how dry he was and things. Yeah. Folks, I want to tell you something. Godly sorrow produces a physical sickness in you. Huh? You begin to look at yourself like that. How long has it been where you've been sick at your stomach at yourself? Well, will you say the same thing that God's saying about you and you're not offering up excuses?
Right.
When you begin to see Him as a loving Father and you as a wayward son, you as a lost son, you that didn't care anything about nothing but your own self, wanted what you wanted,
right.
Had your eyes on yourself and didn't have your eyes on Him.
That's right.
Give me what's mine. In the Old Testament, I know we don't live there, but in the Old Testament, in the Middle East culture, you didn't have nothing but honor. That's what you had: respect and honor and responsibility. You had it to your family. You showed honor to your father. It was taught that if you didn't show honor to your father and your mother, you could be taken out and be killed. Amen. Listen, that son knew what honor was. But yet he didn't care about the honor. He didn't care. He was shameless when he asked for what he wanted. But I want you to know my father gave him what he wanted. He gave him both of them. He gave his older 2/3, just like Deuteronomy says, I think it is. And he gave his younger 1/3. And I want to ask you another question. Where, when all this is going on, where was the older son? He should have been there. He should have been what you call when one comes in between. He should have been the person coming in between, looking out for his little brother, looking out for his father's estate. You don't even read about where he was. That's why he didn't care about his father either. He didn't care about his brother either. Somebody said, well, brother, don't you think he was saved? I mean, he didn't go out and spend it in righteous living. No, he's just like these Pharisees and these scribes that were gathered around the table. They thought they were too holy. They thought, well, we hadn't done what they'd done, but yet they don't care about sinners. And you don't care about your sinner. You don't care about your little brother. You don't care about your father. He went out and he wasted it all in righteous living. Harlots goes on and talks about that. I mean, you name it, he did it. Amen? Hey, I want to tell you something. He didn't carry the deed to the land. He sold it. I believe them words. When I studied those words, it talked about, really, I'm going to tell you what. He didn't get near what that land was worth because he was in a hurry. Just a few days later, after he got it, he found somebody, and somebody had some money on them. You know how it is down there on trade day. Somebody had some money on them, and they'll say, I'll give you 30 for that. Well, I really wanted 40 for it. Well, I can't get 40 for it. And they start walking up and said, hold up a little bit. I'll take that 30.
Yeah.
Amen? He didn't get what that land was really worth.
Right.
So he went shortchanged out there into the world. And he didn't have his father on his mind, and the townspeople, and I can just see the Pharisees sitting there and the scribes and all the rest of that religious bunch sitting there.
They're going, oh my goodness, this story he's telling. Oh my goodness, no son would ever do that.
You know what he's really saying? I know this is what he's really saying. He was saying, you don't get this until the father's dead. You don't get what you owe to. Sometimes I was telling him yesterday, I aggravate my mama. I tell her, go ahead and give me my inheritance right now where I can spend it. You can watch me be happy. Some of my church people frown on that whenever I tell her that. And they probably should. And I'm just kidding. She don't think I'm kidding, but I am. I'm just kidding. Well, listen, that's disrespectful. That's disrespectful in the Middle East. In other words, this is what that old boy was saying. He's saying, I know you ain't dead, but I wish you'd hurry up and die so I can do it. And I know you ain't dead, but just act like you're dead. Because you're dead to me. Boy, ain't that the way sinners act, though? Isn't it how you acted? Wait a minute now. Whose side are you taking? Y'all going against this prodigal son. Well, you ain't take a good look at yourself.
There you go.
Wait a minute. Y'all see everybody signing up with the father, wouldn't they then? Yeah. They signed up. Yeah, I see what you're talking about, Brother Prince. Yeah, about that old wicked old boy, yeah. You're not thinking about the father. You're not thinking about your own sons. You're not thinking about your own daughters. You're not thinking about your own neighbors. You're thinking about yourself. Huh. You don't go out there and do what you want to do. You ain't got your eyes on him.
No.
You're not crying over the Father.
No.
You're not crying over what he's done.
No.
You're not even trying to see who he is. You just call him Daddy. You just call him God. I want to tell you something. God's got some attributes. He got some attributes.
Yes.
Ooh, Jesus got some attributes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a character. He's just not a funny book character. He's a real person.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, I mean, when's the last time you looked at him? Isn't that what Spurgeon said? He went that Wednesday night on that old snow and that. And that old preacher said, look into the Lamb, look into the Lord, look into Jesus, look into the cross, look. Amen. There's a brazen serpent up there. And that's what Jesus even taught him. Look into the serpent like Moses commanded the people. Look. See it.
Yeah.
High and lifted up. See him. You're just seeing yourself what you want. And I just go off and do, I just going to kind of do it my way.
Yeah.
I'm just going to kind of care about myself. I'm going to go out and spend it the way I think it ought to be spent.
Right.
My religious nickel.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
We'll do it. No. I wish you were dead. Give me what's mine. I'll cash it in. Boom. You don't hear nothing. I'm tired of hearing about Abraham. I'm tired of hearing about Moses. I want to go into a foreign land. I want to go into another country. I mean, I ain't got no desire to be around here anymore. I want to separate myself from all this stuff. I'm tired of hearing about it.
That's right.
Oh, my old heart, the other day I was reading. I was texting Brother Edgar. I was reading. And I couldn't help it. Something come over me. I had to start texting him. He texts me first, and then I'll text him 10 more times after that. And I had to tell him, man, I want to tell you something. God gave me some flashbacks of some people's faces around here, brother.
Yeah.
I got to think about old Donnie. I got to think about old George. I can't help it. I got to think about some of them. I get to think about people that left the battlefield. I get to think about them as they run out of the churches. I get to think about that night when I left. I didn't come back. And how God found me, I don't know. But he found me. I'm sheltered from that. Now I'm new. Well, watch yourself now. Watch yourself. You think a little bit too highly of yourself.
Right.
I'm gonna ask you, are you thinking about your father? Are you thinking about who he is, what he is, what he's done for you? Man, he has done so much for you. The goodness of God has led you to repentance right now.
Right.
You ain't gotta search very much to see the goodness of God. And I know it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Huh? But he ain't looking at the goodness. I don't know what you're looking at tonight, but he ain't looking at the goodness. He didn't look at his father. He wasn't looking out for his little brother. Big brother wasn't looking out for little brother. And little brother wasn't looking out for big brother. They wanted, I want mine right now. Give me my 2/3. I'm going to go out here and make some money out of that. Well, give me my 1/3. I'm going to go, I'm thinking go to a foreign country, to a foreign land.
I'm going to be a big shot somewhere where nobody don't know me very much. My Bible says he went and he wasted it. You read the same thing I did, didn't you, a while ago? I'm really on it now, ain't I? And the Bible says he had a plan, didn't he? I'm trying to get to it. He had a plan. And the Bible says when he spent all that he had, not only do I have this problem now, I don't have no money, but now there's famine in the land. Isn't that a coincidence? That God controls our circumstances. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, now, I mean, I don't have no money, and there ain't nothing just growing wild that I can eat. So plan A, here's how I'll do it. Here's how I'll do it. I'll go and make myself get me a job. So I'm going to do it. Now, I preach at my church a little bit different. You know, we got people that are leaving and going to college and moving off. I said, you go ahead. You go make your money. You go do your thing. You better hope God brings you back.
That's right, sir.
That's right. you just go do what you want. Go hire yourself out. Get away from the church. Ain't important. That's the last thing on your list you ought to be praying for. Lord, this old loudmouth, you know, I got two young. I'm talking about one of them's an eighth grader and the other's a sophomore. Told their mama the other day, said, we don't want to go to Brother Bitter's church no more. We want to go down here where they got that gym at.
Yeah.
That's where we want to go.
Right.
And mama asked them why. And they told mama, here's what they told mama. Said, he preaches way too long.
Yep.
He preaches too long. Eighth grader and a sophomore telling their mama what they want to do. You know what mama did? Took them. Yep, and things have come up. Famine's in the land.
Yeah.
Where did they run back? Where'd she run back? Where did I talk to her 15 minutes of the day at? On the back seat of the pew, I got to talking to her about it. And I got to tell them boys too young to be telling you what you need to do.
Right.
They don't need no gymnasium. They don't need no drama. Puppet show.
Right.
Amen. No, they don't need all that.
Right.
What they need is preaching. That's why they go to them judgment houses on hot October, you know, the devil's judgment house. When they go there, that's why they get moved. They get scared when they see hell. They go make them false professions. They go get up under that first Baptist person over there, and I'm not saying all of them's like that. Brother Shane was here, he'd say different. But most of them are. And they say, isn't it about time you gave your heart to Jesus?
Yep.
Yeah, I believe it is. I believe it's about time. Okay. They go in a dry center and come up a wet center. Amen.
Right.
And I say sinners because they're not a saint.
That's right.
I mean, you either ain't or you're a saint, right? Yeah. Saint or ain't. That's all y'all, right? And things like that. But listen, what I'm saying is you're going to go off into a foreign country and you're going to do what you want to do and you got your plan. And plan A is, I know how to get myself out of this. I know how to make it better. I read the Bible more, is what a religious person will say.
Right.
Well, that ain't going to hurt you. That definitely ain't going to hurt you. Amen. Well, I'll do this. I'll do that. I got a plan like it's a plan. Plan A ain't working. And the Bible says he got down there. I got studying it. It's almost like he got in there with them old hogs. I used to work on a hog farm, man. You poured that feed in, it's every hog for itself. And he couldn't get fed down there bumping with the hogs in the trough.
Yeah.
Would have eaten the husk that fell from the mouth of an old hog that... He's eating so fast, not looking up. He's just eating it, eating, eating. He said, I'm going to try to get that off his mouth right there. And they're just bumping him, and he can't even get full that way. And he said, I got an idea. Just hit me. Well, I'm glad I'm coming up with all these ideas. I got an idea. Came to himself. He began to think one night, laying there with the hogs. He said, now how many hired servants does my father have? Let's start thinking about my father. Well, I tell you why. Boy, Father had compassion.
Sure.
He'd always go out there and he'd hire, just like the Bible says, he'd hire somebody 6 o'clock in the morning, he'd pay them such and such. He'd go out maybe at dinner and hire somebody, pay them the same wages, go out 6 o'clock p.m., hire somebody, pay them the same wages. He had compassion on those hired servants. You know what a hired servant is, don't you? One that works day by day.
They don't stay there at the house. That they ain't slaves. Slaves higher than they are. These are hired servants day by day. Get hired, from what I understand, get hired from one day to the next. From one day to the next. Hired every day. Hired out every day. Boy, they got it better than I do.
That's right.
That ain't a very good life, man. That's the bottom of the totem pole right there.
That's right.
Old hired servant, they don't get no lower than that. They sure ain't got no security.
Right.
They ain't got no security. They ain't got nothing to, they ain't got nothing to, whoo, but if I could just be one of them.
Uh-huh.
I just got to think about it. I just wished I'd get back to that position where I could just see my father every day. I know he's got a lot of compassion. He wouldn't let me go hungry. He'd hire me probably every day. I don't have to be a son. I don't have to be a slave. I don't have to stay on the premises. I'll just come into work every day. I'll drive in. I'll walk into work every day. Sleep out there in the field. But I believe that my father would hire me. Why? Because he's got compassion. I've seen him have compassion. He's always give them bread enough and to spare.
Amen.
And they've never perished with hunger.
Amen.
My, oh, I'm hungry. I'm starving for something outside those self-righteousness. I've eaten self-righteous so long, I'm sick in my stomach at self-righteousness. I want to go home. I got a little old girl comes in. She comes in from Indiana, and she's going to school up there to be an optometrist, and she wants to get hired around the Paducah area, and I'm praying that she does, amen. And she comes in, and she's all hungry, and she said, yesterday during Sunday school, she said, Brother Billy, I really don't want to go back. I like to stay home. Woo! I remember when I was in college and I don't know what God was doing, but I was going to Myrtle down there and stuff, and I was in love with my girlfriend, and Sunday night would come back and I'd have to go back up there to Murray and same old dorms, and I said, I don't want to go back. A lot of time I had a paper one day, and I walked up there and I was fixing to quit, and I didn't quit. I don't know if I should have quit or not, but I didn't. Boy, I wanted to be home. I'd drive back from Murray on Wednesday night to just hear an old preacher preach. Because I know there was something wrong in me. Little I know so much, but there was. But boy, I'm telling you right now, boy, when God gets a calling, you'll hear that that call be, a call you won't never. You'll hear it. I believe in that kind of call. It'll be a call. You won't wait for an invitation. Woo! Amen. I want to go home. Oh, I don't have a desire anymore for everything out here. I don't have a desire to go in a strange land anymore. I want to go home.
Yeah.
I want to go home. And I'm hungry for something else besides the husk falls out of the hog's mouth. I got a plan. I'm going to go. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home. When I get there, I'm going to go to my father. Here it is. This is how I'm going to work it out now. When I get saved, I'm just going to kind of collapse. I'm just going to just collapse, right? That's how it's going to be, isn't it? I'm going to run up there and get a hold of Brother Edgar's hand. No, it's going to be during the revival. It's going to be during the revival, and Brother Tim's going to be preaching, and I'm going to run down that aisle, and boy, I'm going to get a hold of it, and I'm going to run a lap around that building. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. Got it all planned out, don't you? He did too, Brother. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to ask my father just to make me a hired servant. Don't make me a slave. Don't make me a son no more. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I just want to be a hired servant. That's all I want to be. Whew, my old belly would be filled anyhow. That's what happened. And I'll listen to what he says. He says, I'll go and I'll say. Here's what I'm going to say. Boy, now I used to really be hung up on that one. Somebody still may be here hung up on what you said. I don't remember really what I said the day I got saved. I'm just going to be, there's my testimony. I don't remember what I said, but I know how my heart was. Amen?
Yes,
and I know my heart said, go to him. I wanted to get to him, and I got to him. And my heart already said repentance a long time ago. Amen? That night and night before, a couple weeks before that. And, Well, he said, I've sinned against heaven. That means I have sinned into heaven. I have sinned so much it is filled up all the way into heaven. You ain't got nothing but sin stacked up. And before thee I've sinned And I brought shame. I mean, them men of God, them village people, they looked at you and they said, you ought to slap that boy across the mouth. He's disrespecting you like that. Mm-hmm. And Father, you didn't slap me. And you know what? I don't know whether the village did. It is very possible that even the family did. It's very possible that maybe the older son might have come back and they might have even had a funeral for our old boy. Because they didn't honor his father the right way. And they made him apart from the family. They separated him apart from the family. It's like he was dead. Because the father said he was dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he said it again there in verse number 32. He was dead.
Yeah.
It's very well they could have had a funeral and marked him off.
Yeah. Possibility.
Possibility. But I won't tell you this. It was Jewish culture. But I won't tell you this. Blowed their molds. Blowed them Pharisees' molds. You know what them Pharisees said? Yeah, they should have had a funeral for him. And if he comes back, here's what they ought to do. Y'all listen to this. If he comes back, here's what they ought to do. Set him out in front of the city. Let the village people come by and cast things upon him and sneer about him and point the finger at him and bring reproach upon him. Let him sit out there for days.
Yep.
Don't you go out there to him, Father. You let him sit out there for days. Put that on him. Let everybody make a sample out of him. Make an example out of him. Just leave him out there. That's what the Pharisees and Sadducees would have done. You think about it. Folks, that ain't your father. That ain't who you're dealing with. Your father didn't slap you across the face. Huh? When you came back to your father, when you arose and you came to your father, you had plan B. You had, hey, I'll say this, I'll say that. I'll tell him I want to just be a hard servant. I'll get real low with him like that. I'll show repentance, you know. I'll show my compassion. I'll make him realize that I'm real at what I'm saying. My Bible says that the father was looking out like I think he was doing every day. He's looking. Yeah. Huh? And yonder he comes.
Yeah.
And he sees him far off.
Yeah.
And he sees him far off. Well, now far off some of you are. He sees you far off.
Right. Right.
And he realizes. I believe the Father realizes.
Yes,
oh, my goodness. The people. The people. The people are going to jeer at him. They're going to speak bad about him. They're going to bring shame upon him. They're going to make it tough on him. Oh, I can't do it. I got to get to my son. I got to get to him. I want to. Oh, let's look at it. Mid-Eastern men didn't show that right there. They didn't show their legs. You know what that meant if they did show their legs? I've done some studying on it. Shamefulness.
Shamefulness.
They can't run in them big gowns. I can see him gird up them gowns that he's got and pull them up where his legs are showing, and he takes off running. Listen, you know what Jesus? You know what Jesus did for us? He bore our shame.
Amen.
My Father bore his shame.
Right.
You know why? Because he won't take shame away from you.
Yeah.
He wanted the attention turned off you and turned on who? Him. On him. You know what they're talking about? You know what the Pharisees says he's talking about? Yeah, here he comes, make him sit outside. Here he comes right there. That's him, that's him. Hey, wait a minute. Look at what in the world's that father doing? He's got his britches up. Oh my goodness, he's got his britches up. And he's running. Men don't run. Men don't run like that. Turn their attention off his son and turn his attention on himself. What's he? He's kissing that dirty thing. Oh, he's got swine on him. He's got pig slobber on him, and he's kissing him. Oh, he's consistently kissing him. I can't watch this no more. Pharisees and Sadducees. I'm not into that sinner stuff. I'm not into that uncleanliness stuff. I'm not into them publicans and taxes collectors and them harlots and stuff. Woo! I'm glad my father's into him.
Amen.
I'm glad he was
Amen.
Into me.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad he loved the sinner.
Amen.
I'm glad he loved the old prodigal son. I'm glad he was willing to take my shame, my reproach.
Right.
my judgment, your judgment. He's willing to take it all on himself. And he did take it all on himself as he ran out there and he kissed him. Amen. And listen, he put a new coat on his old stinking body. Amen. And I know that's symbolic of some things, but I'm not into all that. But I want you to see what the Father did. The Father was willing to take his reproach and his shame and to reconcile with his Son before his Son ever said anything. That's what I like about it. He didn't say a thing, not one word. He had it planned out.
That's right.
And before he could ever open up his mouth, he looked and here comes his Father and he got just tackled him and loved him and squeezed him and kissed him and got to talking and, you know, kill the fatted calf the whole nine yards. My old son that was dead, now he's not dead no more.
That's right.
He said, well, now, wait a minute. He did say something, didn't he? And he said, and the son said, after he had compassion, ran, fell, and kissed him. Son did say something. Son said, Father, I want you to know, I've sinned. I've sinned against heaven. Mm-hmm. And in thy sight I've sinned. And I'm not worthy to be called thy son. But he didn't get it out. Make me my hard servant. Make me a hard servant. Oh, I ain't worthy to be his son. I'm not worthy to have the sonship, amen, that I have. You're not worthy to have the sonship or the daughtership that you're going to have. You're not worthy to be a son of God, sons of God. You're not worthy to be gathered around that throne one day, amen. I'm thankful he came to me. Amen. I'm thankful he ran to me. I love that song. Old Brother Muffet's wife used to sing that song. I'm telling you what. Hey, and he ran to me, and then I ran to him. But he ran to me first. Now, don't tell me he just stood there and let him run. His papa run all the way out there. He seen him running. And he took off too. The Father ran to him first. He ran to him first. Plan B didn't work out pretty good, but I want to tell you something. He liked Plan C. He liked Plan C. My son was dead, but now he's alive.
Amen.
He was lost. He's got recovered. He's recovered.
Yeah.
I ain't going to stand here and say I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'm going to say I'm a recovering sinner.
Amen.
God saved me. God saves those sinners. I'm like Paul. I feel like I was at that time chief of all sinners. I'm thankful he had mercy. I'm thankful he had compassion. I'm thankful that he reconciled my relationship with him. And he did that through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm asking you today, tonight, where you got your eyes on? Got your eyes on yourself, or you got your eyes on more people than just yourself? Little brother, big brother, take a look at your Father. Take a look at your Father. Look at him. Look and live. Look and live.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we come to you. We know there's two sons. We didn't want to deal with the last son. Last son to be dealt with, has been dealt with, will be dealt with again. But tonight you wanted to look at the old prodigal son, the one that tradition calls the prodigal son. I'm not sure. They're both really prodigal sons, lost sons. But Lord, I know one thing. This old boy came up to me yesterday morning and said, you read my story, my life story right there. That's the way I am. That's the way I was. I said, well, that's my story. That's the way I was. That's all of our stories.
Sure.
When we really start realizing God's goodness, God's mercy, God's long-suffering, God's love, we really start worrying and looking at, really, and seeing what He wants to depart unto us, what He wants to give us, what kind of inheritance He really has. If we don't sell him short, if we don't
try to sell it out from underneath him what he really has in store for us. When he works that repentance in the form of 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, when he works it from a godly sorrow and produces a saving faith and forgiveness of sins is put to our account, is not imputed to our account, but is imputed unto his account. When he brings all that reproach and all that shamefulness upon him, happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.